Okay, you're on.
Good evening. My name is Leonard Beck, and I will serve as the hearing officer this evening on behalf of the Idaho Water Resource Board. This is the evening of August 30th, 2012, and we are at the Idaho Water Center, located at 322 East Front Street in Boise. I'd also draw your attention from the Water Board that we have Roger Chase with us from Pocatello on my left, and Vince Alberti from Kimberly on my right. Also present are Clive Strong, Deputy Attorney General, Harriet Hensley, Deputy Attorney General, Gary Spackman, the Director of the Idaho Department of Water Resources, and Helen Harrington, the Manager of the Water Planning Section of the Department of Water Resources. The purpose of this hearing is to take testimony and to receive exhibits in connection with the proposed changes to the Comprehensive State Water Plan. Notice of this hearing was made through a statewide news release and a second news release to local media 2 weeks prior to this hearing. Notice was also made through electronic postings on the board's web pages. I draw your attention that I would like testimony to be held to 3 minutes. If that you feel that that's an injustice to you as you come to the pulpit, if you would state that, and we're certainly lenient to allow some time more to make sure that your testimony is appropriately noted. We have four that I've asked to share testimony tonight. We will go in this order. First of all, Shelley Davis, then Kevin Lewis, and then David Monsees.
Yes.
Is that correct? Thank you. And then Marie Calloway Kellner. Ms. Davis. Ms. Davis and others, as you come forward, if you would state your name and who you might be representing for the
record. Thank you, Chairman Beck, members of the board, members of the subcommittee, I should say. It's good to see you again. Shelley Davis. I'm here representing Twin Falls Canal Company, Northside Canal Company, Clear Springs Foods, and the Boise Project Board of Control. My comments tonight are simply some preliminary overarching comments that I have about the, general parameters of the proposed plan, and we will be submitting substantial written comments, but I don't mean to sound scary, more written comments on or before September 21st. I hope that I can keep this to 3 minutes, but I do beg your indulgence if I go a little longer than that. First and foremost, I want to thank this subcommittee and the subcommittee in its previous incarnation going back to 2007 for all of the time and attention that has been paid to attempting to revise this plan. 1996 to 2012 is substantially longer, I think, than the code had anticipated that this plan be looked at and revised, and it has been a huge undertaking that this group, along with the staff, have undertaken, and I do thank you for your patient indulgence of those of us in the peanut gallery who followed this so closely. I have three general areas that I'd like to discuss with you today. The first, the wind has been taken out of my sails a little bit. Mr. Strong has already addressed that to some degree. But one of the issues that I wanted to discuss with this board was simply the question of law versus policy. Because during the revisions to this plan, on a number of occasions, both in the subcommittee meetings and outside of those proceedings and other legal matters, it has been suggested that the state water plan has the force of law. And law is defined very narrowly, and policy is defined very narrowly, and there are ways in which those two definitions should not overlap. I'd like to just describe quickly. So in Idaho Code 42-1734A, that provides the board's authority to formulate, adopt, and implement the state water plan, it specifically describes the content of the plan as statewide policies, goals, and objectives. And a policy is defined by Black's Legal Dictionary, and I apologize for using this as the definition, but that's where I spend a lot of my time, as the general principles by which a government is guided in its management of public affairs. On the other hand, a law is defined as the aggregate of legislation, judicial precedents, and accepted legal principles or statutes. And the mere ratification of this plan, as it's now required to be by the legislature, does not elevate it immediately to the same status as a law. laws are adopted by the legislature and sometimes defined by the courts to regulate the conduct of the public. They're intended to be somewhat fixed so that the public can ascribe or circumvent its conduct to fit within those prescribed laws. Policies, on the other hand, dictate a government's interpretation and application of the adopted laws by the legislature. And they are therefore necessarily malleable to respond to new things that happen within the population that may change the way that the government applies those policies and the way that it responds to those laws. And because of this changeable nature, they're not applied in the same manner as a law, because the public at large cannot be held accountable to know the changing policies of any particular government agency or body. And for that reason, I just wanted to raise that it has been an ongoing discussion that's been had in this group for the last 5 years. So I wanted to take this time to clarify that from my perspective on behalf of my clients. The second issue I wanted to raise tonight was the new addition of implementation strategies and milestones. And I do have, and I'll address this more specifically on a case-by-case basis on the written comments that I provide. In a number of circumstances, it appears to me that those implementation plans and milestones may be overstepping the authorities of this board and might be more appropriately dedicated to different agencies within the state or different governmental bodies. Historically, the state water plan did not include the implementation strategies and milestones to measure whether those policies are carried into action, and I do find it somewhat questionable that this board has the authority in all instances to set parameters or state the policies about how those should be achieved. The board's authorities are limited and defined in various statutes throughout the code. And while 4217.34a authorizes board to implement the plan, I'm not entirely certain that it also authorizes this board to implement all of the policies independently embodied within that plan. So that's another overarching concern that my clients have raised while we're looking at this. There are water quality actions, flood prevention, flood control actions. There are a number of things that appear to be more appropriately dedicated to different agencies. And so for that reason, we do have some overarching concern about the implementation strategies. And the last, this is the third and last thing I plan to address tonight, and hopefully I'm still somewhat within the 3 minute time limit, is the fact that in 1994 through 1996, when the plan was last adopted, there were a number of, and I think it was limited to the Snake River, but correct me if I'm wrong, Helen, there were a number of Plan B river segment plans that were adopted as a component of the state water plan. And no review has been made of the existing Part B portions of the 1996 plan during this Part A revision. Part A are the goals and policies that overarch the entire state, but Plan B specifically addresses individual river segments of concern. And I'm aware specifically that the Milner Dam to King Hill component of the state water plan has a number of policies that appear to directly contradict some of the Snake River policies that are proposed in the 2012 Plan A provision. Specifically, at page 74 of that plan, it says, as a long-term goal, the Water Board will work toward higher river flows during the summer months. The Idaho Water Resource Board would like to see more than a zero flow at Milner and will continue to examine options to secure flow throughout the year at the dam or main powerhouse. Increased flows would improve some aspects of water quality and fish habitat and restore some of the scenic beauty to Twin Falls, Shoshone Falls, and many of the smaller, less famous waterfalls within the reach. As we've already discussed during the Snake River policies and other portions of the plan tonight, we have a very, I think from reading the plan, a substantial disconnect between the Plan A policies and the Plan B policies. And it would be helpful to have some guidance from the board prior to September 21st, when formal written comments are required to be submitted as to whether or not those Plan B component policies will be revised at the same time as the Plan A policies and submitted to the legislature, or if the board has some other plans for that Plan B portion of the before it's submitted to the legislature in 2013. That's all I have tonight for you. Do you have any questions of me?
Committee members?
Mr. Chase? Shelley, when you looked at those Plan A and Plan B policies, was it the one in Milner really the only one that's been looked at, or are there others you can think of just off the top of your head? Sorry.
Based on the work that I've been doing for the last 5 years, Milner to King Hill is the portion that I'm most familiar with. I think there are two other Plan B components on the Snake River. A lot of those are related, if my memory serves, to specific endangered species concerns or species of general concern issues, some snails, some sturgeon, that sort of thing. But I'm not as familiar with those as I should be in order to point out other direct potential contradictions in those.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Once again, thank you all so much for all of your work. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just draw your attention. This chairman was probably out of order in that allowing that response from Mr. Chase. And as such, as you come forth, your testimonies will be heard, but it will not be a questionable approach to board members or anyone else that's in. We'll just hear your testimony. We will go with Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee. My name is Kevin Lewis. I'm the Conservation Program Director with Idaho Rivers United. I'll be very brief because I'm in the process of preparing written comments with some guidance from my board, because they're way smarter than me. But I do want to thank you for, as I was walking over tonight, I was thinking, now, how long has this been going on? How many meetings did we go to? So 5 years, 29 meetings. That's a lot of work. I appreciate it. I appreciate the inclusion of the people present, the peanut gallery, as we are. It was good that you were very inclusive in the process, and so I appreciate that. Good planning. We need good planning. We need good water planning in this state. So I think this is an effort that was way overdue. It's great that it's getting done. It's almost time to start the revision. So. With that, I'll provide written comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Mr. Muncy?
Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee, I am David Montes, a citizen of Eagle, Idaho, and thank you for all of the effort you've put into the plan. I think there are a lot of very positive aspects of the plan. However, the last page of the plan, the resolution, I find kind of inflammatory and somewhat offensive. It smacks of Butch Otter's stance on wolves. This state could benefit greatly from conserving. Everyone I have spoken to concerning salmon, which are an endangered species that are listed, would like to see them restored and see potential great economic benefit for the state of Idaho. Salmon restoration would aid the fertility of the state and benefit these areas where the soils are somewhat sterile because of their chemical composition. All of those dead bodies do a lot to bring minerals and fertilization into the aquifer and ecosystem. I read that resolution as basically saying, if the federal government wants to list salmon, then we're against them. I don't think it belongs in a policy statement. It sounds more like trying to shove something down the next to the people of Idaho as opposed to stating a responsible policy. You talk about possibility of adding dams. I recognize that water is going to be bad, especially with global warming and these drought episodes that we're currently having. I'm originally from Texas, and I'm sure they would like some dams too, but the dams will guarantee that salmon go extinct in Idaho. And I really find that tragic. Dams need to be removed, not added. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Ms. Kellner?
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I would say that I might speak just a moment more than 3 minutes, if that's all right, but I do believe I'll be within five.
Thank you.
That is okay. I will not be keeping us here all evening. But thank you for the opportunity. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name's Marie Calloway Kellner, and I'm the water associate with the Idaho Conservation League, and thank you for giving us this opportunity this evening. Since 1973, the Idaho Conservation League has worked to protect clean water, clean air, wilderness, and Idaho's unique quality of life. As Idaho's oldest and largest state-based conservation organization, we represent over 20,000 supporters from across the state, many of whom care deeply about Idaho's water resources, as everyone in this room does as well. This evening, I stand before you representing not only myself and the Idaho Conservation League staff and board, but also our thousands of members in the shared belief that Idaho's water is one of our most precious resources, and Idaho's future depends on proactive water management decisions. ICL will file more thorough written comments, as other people I know plan to as well. However, in the limited time that we have tonight, I just want to highlight three areas. The first, we commend the board for taking the initiative to revise the water plan. The creation of the plan 40 years ago was an innovation in the management of water in Idaho, and the revision of it today speaks to this board's commitment to responsibly planning for Idaho's water future, and we thank you for that. We also commend the plan's recognition of the protection of fish and wildlife habitat, aquatic life, recreation, and water quality as beneficial uses of water. These beneficial uses are integral to the health of all our citizens, as well as Idaho's tourism and recreation industries. And without these beneficial uses, the boating, fishing, and wildlife-related pastimes that make Idaho's quality of life so special would suffer. So we're thankful to see them prioritized within the plan. Second, ICL is pleased that the board's plan emphasizes expanded use of minimum stream flows and lake levels, and encourages the board to work with the Department of Fish and Game in securing additional minimum stream flows around the state. ICL also encourages the board to endeavor to use its unique ability to hold minimum stream flow water rights to secure flows on waterways associated with recharge water right applications. As is evidenced by the board's ongoing aquifer recharge study sites, numerous sections of the water plan, and recent new water right applications with IDWR, managed aquifer recharge is becoming an increasingly relevant topic in Idaho. And while understanding that the board's stated purpose of managed aquifer recharge is ultimately to enhance flows at certain times of the year to maintain aquifer levels, ICL wishes to underscore potential harm associated with recharge, especially when it's conducted by entities other than the board. And we offer that minimum stream flows provide a mitigating solution to that potential harm. So specifically, without adequate in-stream flow protection, Idaho's waterways from which the recharge water is diverted risk dewatering, which would have devastating effects on fish and aquatic habitat, as well as the recreation economy in many communities across the state. Unlike the board, private entities that might acquire recharge water rights are not charged with a duty to ensure that the needs and interests of the public are appropriately considered in decisions involving the water resources of the state. Therefore, ICL encourages the board to expand its use of minimum stream flows into the realm of aquifer recharge. Such rights would need to be secured concurrently with private recharge applications so that they would maintain identical priority dates, placing them on even ground with recharge rights and protecting the streams and rivers from which the recharge water is diverted. And third, ICL recognizes that the board is charged with creating a list of storage proposals. ICL also speaks for 20,000 people who believe that aquatic habitat and its resulting natural, recreational, and economic benefits are important beneficial uses of Idaho's water that shouldn't be usurped by dam construction. So in an era of dam removal, ICL strongly dissuades building new dams without first fully pursuing all the other options that are out there. Specifically, we encourage the board to prioritize and actively pursue the following things. One, inefficient diversions should be upgraded and diversions should be automated. Two, loan or grant funding to aid upgrades and automation should be investigated. Three, municipal water plans should be required to include conservation measures. And four, a harder look at our water needs future must happen in light of increasing agricultural to urban land use changes. Such studies and efforts are likely to result in the discovery of vast water resources across the state. Additionally, these alternatives are cheaper, more quickly implemented, more easily implemented, and apt to be more socially palatable than building of new dams. Especially as to our recommendations of requiring diversion automation in conservation plans, ICL notes the state's policy that conservation measures be voluntary. However, as our population grows, our climate changes, and our water resources are increasingly stressed, all Idahoans must be vigilant in protecting them. Idaho citizens look to this board and the leadership and authority vested in it to ensure that our water resources are available for all Idahoans and Idaho's natural resources in the future. And part of that leadership is doing things that are necessary even when they are not popular. A successful water future for Idaho is going to require shared sacrifice on everyone's part, and that sacrifice is not likely to happen without the leadership of this board. In closing, I note that the plan includes the creation of several task forces, in particular ones related to aquifer storage and recovery, water use efficiency, and climate change. And I would like to offer that the Idaho Conservation League welcomes the opportunity to join those task forces to work alongside other water resource professionals and stakeholders in efforts to make smart and constructive recommendations to the board and other decision-making bodies across the state. And so on behalf of the members, the staff, and the board of the Idaho Conservation League, I want to thank you again for this opportunity to speak to you this evening.
Thank you, Ms. Kramer. Ladies and gentlemen, that would complete those who have notified us that they wish to testify. Are there others that would so desire to testify at this point? Mr. Director, we see that you left your area blank. And are you still debating whether you want to testify or not?
Mr. Chairman, I'll submit extensive written comment.
Good one. The record will remain open until September 21st, 2012 for the submittal of additional comments. The information presented at this hearing and other hearings conducted throughout the state, as well as the information added to the record before September 21st, 2012, will be considered by the board in preparation for the final version of the amended Comprehensive State Water Plan. At this point, we express appreciation for your attendance this evening, and this hearing is adjourned.